Welcome to Chats by Chloe. My name is Claudia. I'm your host, and I'm the founder and publisher of Lifestyle Mag and Chloe Magazine, a platform bringing you content about fashion, travel, beauty, and lifestyle. Follow our Instagram account at Lifestyle Mag and by Chloe. This podcast is more than a special. Today's episode is part of the content produced for Chloe Magazine. We invited King Masabni to take over and chat with our stunning, fabulous cover, Bianca Brandolini.
I wanted to thank Claudia for allowing us to do this. It's pretty fun and super cool to be able to do this amongst friends and talk to you and be helping, you know, the Chloe Magazine get your story out, because it is an amazing story. So tell us, tell everybody, you're traveling during COVID?
I'm not, it's my first, actually, I'm just starting again to work, and it feels really good, and it feels really nice.
Is this city humble?
You know, it's really funny. I mean, it's kind of crazy, because last time I was in Milan for last Fashion Week, like, I still remember when everything got canceled. There were like this huge pandemic. You know, there's a lot of cases in Milan, and I didn't really understand what was going on still, because it was new for me and for everyone else. And I was here with my makeup and hair, and we were all a bit surprised and confused. And then I saw them again today for the first time, and we were like, whoa, remember, like, you know, when they first said that to us, like, would have never imagined that this would be the, you know, that we would go through that.
I know, it's such a crazy time.
But it feels nice to be here. I was just at my first show, and it's different. I mean, it's different. We're not many. We're like maybe 300. And there's a lot of space in between the seats, and you have your masks on, and you have to keep it, and everyone keeps it. Actually, you can see,
and the models, the models also,
no, the models know, and you, when you're doing the photo call and stuff, you can take it off, but like after that you have to wear it again.
Oh gosh. Okay, but at least it's back on its feet somehow. I feel bad.
Yeah, I have to say that I was really happy to sit at a show and, you know, look at clothes. It was like, I missed that a lot.
Okay, so let's jump into the questions that are lined up for us today. I didn't know this until I read the questionnaire, but you had a cover with Chloe before the one that's coming up.
It wasn't Chloe at the time, and Claudia is a very faithful woman that I love very, very much. Thank you for having me again. It was called Lifestyle Magazine.
Okay.
And yeah, and I just can't believe that that was already 6 years ago.
So can you tell us what happened to your life in the last 6 years? Is that a possible question to ask?
I mean, you know, it's just like everything goes so fast. And I just think that, you know, some things have evolved and some things haven't changed. But overall, I'm a lucky girl. I'm super happy. I know I'm very fortunate, and I'm able to take care of me, of my loved ones, you know, of my body, of my mind. Work is going really good. So,
you've had a good journey since.
Yes, a lot of things have changed, but like in a nice way, and the way I want it, let's say.
I think you haven't changed.
You think I haven't changed?
Yeah, but in the best possible way, because you kept all your cool things. And
I mean, look at me, my bestie, you got married last year. So things are evolving. Things are evolving.
Some things evolve, yes.
For sure.
So that's a very interesting question, which I think we have spoken about as friends many, many times. But some people say that women reach their peak of beauty around their 30s, which is around our age right now. Do you believe in that? Is this it? Is this our time? Are we done? Is our max beauty level done in
which time? Are you joking? Absolutely not. Yeah. Absolutely not. I think that beauty is an evolving thing that never reaches its peak. And women's beauty lives all the time and has no end, as we know, right, girls? And I think that this is what's making us so special. I don't want to think that I've reached my peak at 30 years old.
Honestly, I've never filmed this good. And I think you haven't either. You are on your best stage right now.
Thank you, babe.
I know that. I can see that.
But I don't know. You know, I know it sounds stupid, but Kim, you know how much I love my grandma and I admire her. And she's 93. And honestly, I can say I'm surprised because she's such a beautiful woman in and inside and out that I'm not, this is not surprising me, but like, she's just so beautiful. And of course we're aging. I'm not saying, you know, but I don't think that there's a peak to reach, you know? So no, I don't want to think that that's it with 30 and we've reached it. No.
I think for everybody that thinks 30 has been reached and that's, you know, that's it, you're going to go downhill from here. You know, think twice, because I think Bianca is saying the truth, as in like, it's an evolving thing and beauty never dies. And I think the more we mature, the better. And also what's important is to find the right partner that loves that too and that cherishes that too. So you have to be
absolutely
with the partner that embraces beauty as an evolving thing throughout life.
Yeah.
Don't let anybody make you feel like,
because men have this tendency and thinking that the, you know, older they get and hotter they're gonna be.
Yeah. And girls,
and they think that we're going downhill. It's not like that, guys.
That's a misconception.
Misconception, and I'm sure it's actually the opposite.
Yeah. As we all know, because it's out in the open right now, you're the new Estee Lauder ambassador. And I'm so proud of you as my friend. Happy to be in the beauty world like this. It's really a world that I think matches you completely. Tell us a bit about how this collaboration ended up happening. Like, how did this come together?
Well, you know, I'm obviously very, very, very lucky to be part of the Lauder family. And we've done already so much in only 1 year. And Kim, you're the first one to know how much I wanted this to work and to happen.
Yeah.
And how happy I am and how proud also I am. Because, you know, it's like, Lauder is like, since I'm a kid, like, it's something that I see in my mom's bathroom. I see it at the airport. I see it everywhere. And for me, it was always like a timeless beauty brand. And I only always see those gorgeous girls, you know, representing this brand. So it's just a really, 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 really big honor for me to be part of their family to start with. But, you know, I think this collaboration started in a very natural and organic way from both sides. And this is why it's working, and it worked.
Yeah.
And we have, you know, very common interests towards each other. So it just happened. And, you know, this is usually how I like the things to happen. It needs to be natural. I've never done any forced job or contract or anything.
Yeah, it's not for your style to scout.
Yeah, and this is why I'm so happy about my choices till now, because even with Cartier, for example, it's very like, I really feel like we're family.
Yeah.
And the same thing happened with them. So yeah, I consider myself super lucky, and I just never want this to end. And I want to keep on using products.
I don't want this to end. I want to keep getting stuff like this.
Oh my God. Like that.
By the way, for those who can't see the video, we're using a tool that I got from Bianca from the line she supports at Estee Lauder. And it's the most amazing tool I've ever had in my life. It deep puffs.
Yeah, we have it at all time.
Yeah. I know you like their products, but what are the most amazing products that they have that you actually like?
Listen, I'm not going to say this because it's my, this is what I represent, but I do represent the Re-Nutriv collection.
Mm-hmm.
And they're truly incredible. And honestly, I can tell you that my skin changed so much since I started using them. It's just, you have like the eye cream and the masks and the Re-Nutriv cream and the serum. And it's like, they're so good. And so, I mean, Kim, you should know, because you're well, using them now too, no?
I'm also a Renutrieve client, and I'm because my eye wrinkles are literally gone. Look.
No, but it's the best. They're the best, and all my friends now are addicted, and obviously my mom keeps on asking me to send her products. Like I have a stock in my house.
Mom, calm down.
So yeah, it's a game changer. Those creams are game changer.
Really. So is that everything that you use, or does your beauty ritual kind of include other things? Like, what's your actually like your beauty ritual secret / can you actually, like, being on the go so much, can you actually maintain them while you travel?
Yeah, I try to maintain them when I'm traveling, but also they're super easy. I don't do anything, you know, complicated or...
Give us your Bianca Brandolini beauty
secret. I don't know, main ones. My main ones are drinking a lot of hot water in the morning. I cleanse my face day and night before my skin routine, no matter what time it is at night, and no matter how the night went.
No matter how tired you are.
Exactly. If I had a bit, I don't know, maybe one caipirosca.
One too many drink.
Exactly. This, I will not go to bed without my skin routine. And you know, maybe the little things that I like to do are like taking baths, and I like to apply my Renutrieve face mask.
Yeah, like by the way, she takes baths like I take showers, and I love that because she really, really needs that 15 minute to 20 minute bath moment, which I love. That's usually when we're on the phone, by the way.
Yes, FaceTime. And I'm relaxing. And I'm in my bath with my best friend and my face mask on, and I can be happier than that. It's like time stops.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe when I want to, I really try to get as much sleep as I can, because otherwise I become a bit too moody and no one wants to hang with me. So yeah, that's it.
I know, You're not good when you don't sleep well.
I know.
But so that's beauty wise, and that's pretty okay. You can transport that everywhere you go. But how about your workout routine? Do you work out, and how often?
Yes, I work out. I work out, I exercise, and I try to exercise also when I travel.
Yeah.
As much as I can. Usually I work out like 4 to 5 times a week. My favorite workouts are usually the really high intensity training, like boxing and cardio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like it liberates my head, and you know, like if you had a tough day or whatever, and you know, it feels good to punch into something.
Yeah. But like when you travel, how do you do that? Like, can you give us an advice?
You know, nowadays, first of all, you have gyms everywhere. So it's easy to go to the gym.
Yeah.
Then usually when I'm in like, summer or like, you know, hot, warm place, like Brazil, whatever. I love swimming. I love water sports. So it's always easy to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the thing that I always travel with is my jump rope. And whenever I have 20 minutes, 15 minutes, I just do it even in my room, you know, just to sweat a bit and get it out of my system. So actually, when someone says I don't have time to work out, and I was one of them, and sometimes I still say that, it's a lie, because we can always, you know, do something in like 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, you can always.
And now with all those apps and those live things and stuff, it's so easy to train. Even like, look at us, you and I were training together. We were in confinement. You were in New York. I was in South of France, and we were sharing our trains, and like, and we were doing 20 minutes of that, and you just feel so much better.
Yeah. Well, that leads me to my next question, actually.
Yeah.
Speaking of lockdown and quarantine and all of that stuff, how has it been, living in this, you know, different world and different moment all around the world, and how has this affected your life personally until today?
We were talking about this earlier. Obviously, it changed so much. And I definitely slowed down these past few months and learned to live at a much slower pace. And it's been nice and soothing to have less things to do, because you also realize how much more attention you give to things when you have time and you're not always on the run. You know, little things that maybe sometimes you would just like ignore them, or but at the end of it, at the end of the day, they're really important, even only for yourself. Mm. And, you know, just right now I'm starting traveling again for work. And yeah, as we were, you know, we were talking about the show that I was just at, and things have changed and people are also calmer and kinder in a way,
People are nice.
I think that it's the first thing. It's horrible, but I think that it reunited us a bit, because no matter where you come from, if you know you have money or less money, or you know, it's just we were all in the same situation and we all got scared for families and friends. And so I think that maybe we are, let's say that the world got closer in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not gonna lie, I just want this thing to end, but not even to, you know, start like going all around the world again. I just want this to end, because obviously like people get so sick and it's so scary.
Yeah, I just want us to be less scared for our parents and our elderlies.
Yeah. And also, you know, like I mean I know we're all like this, but like you're Lebanese, I'm half like Brazilian and Italian. I love hugging people.
I know.
I need to hug people and then to tell them I love. And so, you know, like even when I got here, I haven't seen my Italian friends for so long. My sister and my nieces, last time I saw them was in February.
Yeah.
And yesterday I surprised my nieces and I picked them up at school. And honestly, guys, like, you know, it sounds like a movie, but we run into each other's arms. And I was holding them and hugging them and I was crying. I had tears, and my sister had tears watching, you know, looking at me holding the girls, because it's just, I miss them so much. And what was really scary to me is that, you know, I was really lucky and I was in a safe place. I spent the confinement with my, you know, besties in south of France. But like knowing that you can take a plane and fly to see your family is really scary.
It's really scary. I completely agree.
So yesterday when I saw them, I was like, oh. And you also realize what's really important in life, you know, at the end of the day.
Yeah, so, and it kind of makes you forget about all the small stuff that used to cram our heads before, and I'm sure.
Yeah, and for Italians, it's been so hard. And
how? But Italy is doing okay right now, right? They're on the
Italy is doing much better than us. Us, when I say us, I'm saying France, because unfortunately we're going through a big peak again of COVID.
Yeah.
But like Italy, everyone insulted them. They were locked in for 3 months. It was so tough for them. And I'm so proud of them, because really, like, they were all, you know, they were all together in it. They were clapping every night at 8:00. They were like singing, all, like, you know, it was just a beautiful thing to see. And that made me so proud to be Italian.
Yeah, I'm so happy. So happy for you guys. So now that you traveled for Fashion Week and life is starting to like kind of get back to normal, are you foreseeing to kind of have a back to normal, like October to December type of life? Or do you think you're going to go to Brazil for New Year's, for example, like you usually do?
I miss Brazil. I really do miss Brazil. I love Brazil so much. And yeah, usually I always go to Trancoso for New Year's, because we have a place there, and it's the moment where I'm reunited with all my family and friends. And but you know, like the energy of this place, the people, it's all I want right now. But unfortunately, like, I don't know if I'll be able to make it this year. That's the thing, like, now you can't really plan ahead.
If you do though, I'm coming.
Yeah, I hope so. I've been inviting you for 15 years. Can you believe she never came?
Little disclosure, I've been invited to Brazil for the past 15 years and a half, and I have not been yet.
The only problem, if she goes to Brazil, she'll never going to come back, guys.
I know.
I'm telling you that.
Okay, so for those who don't know, I mean, I think nobody doesn't know, but just remind us, what's your connection to Brazil exactly?
My mom's mom was Brazilian, and my mom's Brazilian. I don't have much family there. I actually don't have family there. Now I only have my mom. And this is why it's so important to me, like for me to keep this Brazilian side alive in me and to keep on going there a lot.
Yeah. So you're half Brazilian, half Italian. Your father's Italian.
Yeah.
And you grew up in Paris. And yes, you speak
with you.
How many languages?
Four.
Four. Fluently.
I was lucky because I was, you know, when you're a kid, you don't feel it when they speak to you in, you know, different languages. And I was talking in Portuguese with my nanny, and I was in an Italian school and I was living in Paris. And then later on, I was going to English or American summer camps.
Mm-hmm.
But so a little funny story is that at some point of my life, I was spending a lot of time in Brazil. If you remember Kim correctly, yeah,
I do.
Like I spent like 5 years there, 4 or 5 years. And I speak Portuguese fluently, but I had the Portuguese accent from Portugal because I was only talking with my nanny.
Okay. Yeah. Cause your nanny was Portuguese. Lala. We're talking about Lala. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. We're talking about Lala. And then when I showed up there, they were all like, what? Even my Brazilian friends, they're like, but B, why is your accent Portuguese? Like, your mom is Brazilian and my mom speaks Brazilian with the Brazilian accent. So after 4 years now, I managed to lose a bit the Portuguese accent and to be a bit more carioca.
Love that.
So, so yeah, so I'm becoming more Brazilian.
What does carioca mean? For those who don't know.
People from Rio.
Got it.
Yeah. I think Claudia is Paulista though. But yeah, I think so. But I'm not sure.
Okay, so that makes sense. So now just to, you know, talk a little bit more about, you know, what makes us women and our values and where we come from and all that stuff. I think people really want to understand the, you know, your family tradition. As you know, growing up has always been very strong in power couples and strong women figures behind you. And you grew up in an environment where every woman around you had such a strong impact and a strong vision and a strong fashion aspect and a strong fashion view. And so how was it growing up in this environment? And how do you picture yourself as a woman within your family structure? And how has that impacted your life? And was it challenging or was it easy or was it like...
No, the thing is that I know. We were always raised to feel that women are equal to men.
Yeah.
Always. Like I was, you know, and you can say that Italians are macho and this and that. All I can tell you, and you know my family, you know my dad.
Mm-hmm.
At no point in my life I ever felt like men were superior to women, or we didn't have the same rights, yeah. So we were not doing the same things, or, you know, so this was always something so important in my life. And actually I really think that my opinions now and everything that I think and the way I see things come from that.
I actually concur with that comment. I've seen you grow up and I think that I've always noticed your ability to integrate yourself as very powerful right from the beginning. And I don't think you ever had this issue of feeling diminished.
No, and that I know that I'm lucky because this is because of my parents, my uncles, my grandparents, because mm-hmm. this is just the way we are. And also, you know, I think that they just taught me the basic life lessons where you can basically do anything in life really that you want, as long as you remain honest to yourself and respectful to yourself and to others. And, you know, this is a bit like when we were talking about Lauder, for example, or Cartier, or I always did what I wanted because I was feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
And I never did any job or anything just for, you know, a reason, feeling that I wouldn't respect myself or even in my love life or even with fights with other people, you know. It's just the respect was always there, and you well, know, you treating people always with respect and in a right way,
yeah.
and it's just like you can't live without them. So you know, you might as well all,
and they can't live without us. How about that?
That's for sure. But it's just, we have to, yeah, it's just, I just think it's a matter of respect after all.
So,
and that was the main thing.
That's really special that your family was able to pass this on to you. Because I know that, and you also know from, you know, growing up in, you know, the last 10 to 15 years as women, it's very hard to find people that have that confidence. And I think your family has done a great job at passing that along to you, which, you know, is very special because it really removes a lot of obstacles moving into life with your relationships and all of that. There's a lot of women, you have to figure it out for yourself if it's not passed along by your family.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So see, we're lucky.
Yeah. So your connection to fashion kind of has always been there, right? Like you grew up in an environment where fashion was always a very predominant topic and environment. Mm-hmm. Your mom has always been very elegant. I've known her for many, many years. Your sister is my style icon. And she also works in the industry. And your grandmother was a style icon, you know, for the last 40 years. So can you please, you know, tell us a little bit about how that has been growing up? Have you just, do you feel like you've, you know, kept your really close relationship to fashion because you wanted to, because it was organic, or was it something that you had to do?
I mean, to be honest, I'm not going to lie. I just think that fashion definitely runs in our veins. So it was a bit of a natural evolution for me to be part of it and to grow up in the fashion industry. But, you know, my grandmother, my mom, they always taught us to appreciate beautiful things and also to be thankful for the fact that beauty is all around us. Mm-hmm. And it's not only a piece of clothing or, you know, a piece of jewelry. It's just around you when you're traveling, when you're a culture, a new country, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I always say that I just wish that I'm going to evolve like my grandma, because the thing is that I was laughing the other day because even like when I'm in Venice and I'm with her, you know, she just has a way of putting colors together and mixing fabrics and layering piece of clothes that I have to say, I'm sorry, but we don't have that anymore today. Like now if I'm staying home, I'm going to wear my sweatpants. My grandma, when she's staying home,
she has her
and out. She's like, she's the most elegant, but it's natural. And so this, in a way, we're losing it because of all this. Don't get me wrong, I love street style. But unfortunately, we're a bit forgetting about this whole, you know, elegance that
we should have.
We're confusing being comfortable with just, you know, being like in sneakers and sweatpants.
Yeah.
You can be comfortable. She's really comfortable, but she's also really elegant and you won't see her wearing what I'm wearing.
Yeah.
So, but it's funny because my grandma, my mom, my sister, look at my sister and I, we have totally different styles, totally.
Yeah.
And my mom is also super different from my sister and I, but we have very strong opinions about our style, the three of us, the four of us, actually. And
how do you just think your style, actually?
But, my style. I mean, it depends on my mood. I want to say that most of the time I like to be comfortable, because when I'm not feeling comfortable in what I'm wearing, you can see it in my face. And I don't feel good. I don't, you know, so I'm like a bit moody and I just don't feel beautiful. You know, I just feel a bit like I've been forced to wear something. So this was one of the lessons that fashion industry taught me, and that I have to, you know, again, respect myself and like what I want to wear.
Yeah.
But I mean, Kim, you know, I love being in jeans, sneakers, cashmere sweater, t-shirts. And of course, I love a beautiful, long, sexy dress at night with really high heels. And I love having my makeup and my hair done. It depends on my mood. It really depends on my mood. But most of the time, I'm more, see, Coco, my sister, is more hippie and chic, and I'm more slick in my style.
Yeah,
you know?
I would say slick. If I had to define your style, I would say slick. I would say you go for simple items. You're not someone that's going to have very complicated, you know, like a crop top with like a hole and then a bow. And that's more like me. you're going to have a very like clean cut pair of jeans. You're going to have a clean cut pants. You're going to have a clean cut jacket. And you're always going to twist. You always twist things with your shoes. Your bags, even though you're not the person that loves to like have bags, but you always have a nice bag to go with your outfit.
Yeah.
And I think in the winter, you zhuzh up your style with like your coats and your scarves and your little hats.
Yeah. I love winter. I mean, I love a good summer, but I love winter and I love coats and I love boots and I love wearing hats and I love,
Layers.
I love what to say.
Okay, so if I were to ask you, fashion and luxury, are these things always related in your head? And between fashion and luxury?
That's a question. So listen, to me, luxury is a relative term. Let me explain myself.
Okay.
Because luxury can mean comfort. It can be time back that we think we didn't have. It can be craftsmanship. It can be an experience, or it can be high quality materials of a piece of clothing. The thing is that luxury doesn't, to me, and this is what I think is the mistake, automatically ring just with, you know, the word expensive. I just feel like sometimes when you say luxury, it needs to be expensive. And so that's my point. This for me is not necessarily luxury.
Yeah.
And so that's why fashion and luxury go together. If and only when fashion considers a luxury aspect, either in the way that it's made, you know, like nowadays, most of the time consciously.
Yeah.
But also who it is, you know, who's making it, like the craftsmanship behind.
Yeah.
And to who is selling it, like, you know, like a meaningful story behind. Or so I think that luxury, long story short, has a story. Like something luxurious for me needs to have a story behind.
I agree.
You know, whether it's expensive or not, this is not what I'm talking about. It needs to have a story. Like, you know, and this is why I also respect designers so much, to be honest. Like, you know, as you know, Giambattista is one of my closest friends. And why I admire his work so much is because Giambattista Valli never, ever designs a collection without a cultural reference for him.
Yeah,
or like something, you know, this is why most of the time it's related to Rome. That's the city where he grew up in. But there's always like when you go backstage and you ask him, okay, why is this collection alive? And you see his mood board.
Insane.
You're only going to see like a beautiful garden or, you know, a moment in a movie when he was little that he really liked. And this for me is a story. And that's luxury.
Yeah, I agree.
Because then you reunite all these people to work around it together. And that's it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think this is a really good answer, by the way, and very rich. There's a lot of things that you said, but I have to say that you made a very good point that luxury has different facets to what it means, and it really isn't about a price tag anymore.
No.
And I think a lot of brands are struggling to figure that piece out. So it's a very interesting thing you just talked about.
And you can have, sorry, just to end about this, but you can... Like, you know, for example, again, Giambattista, he has the idea. Then you have the girls or the guy, I mean, the crew working on it, sewing everything, you know, like day and night.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the production. It takes a whole army. It's not only one person and then you put a price on something, you know. It's like there's really a story behind all of that.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, you know, sometimes... A piece of jewelry can be nice, but not because it's the biggest diamond or the biggest, but even the smallest little chain, even in whatever you want, you know, even in a rope, just because someone that you love gave it to you, telling you special words. And this bracelet, you know, is going to bring you luck and you always want to have it with you.
And that's luxury also.
Exactly.
So I'm not going to start asking you what are your favorite brands all over the world. How about we just talk about very quickly, what are some of your favorite Brazilian brands out there? What do you usually like to go to?
So my, you know what, guys, the thing is that I have to go back to Brazil. Because the brands that I was going a lot, my favorite thing when I was there was to go to the hippie market. Mm-hmm. And buy all sorts of like skirts and tops. And, you know, obviously I like brands like Osklen and, you know, I mean, I love, there's a lot of Brazilian brands that I like, but like for me, I don't know, Brazil for me was more like about.
It's not a brand, it's more of a style and where you.
And I like to go there and mix and match them with some piece of clothes that I have. And so this is why I can't really give you like big Brazilian brands.
That makes sense. No, but I kind of like that because you enjoy buying those little undercover, you know, shops that are wherever you go in, you know, Trancoso or Sao Paulo. And
yeah.
You mix that with your organic wardrobe already. And that's a form of luxury.
Exactly. It brings us back to the luxury.
Exactly. So if you had to describe yourself, that's going to be good. In one phrase, what would it be? Go.
Listen. I
really that
in one sentence, I'd say that I'm curious and eager to discover life every day.
That's a really good answer.
I mean, you know me, when I travel, I just want to, you know, I just want to take the most of it, to see everything, even, you know, like sometimes you get pissed at me because we're going to go in a random situation and you want to go home and go to bed. And I'm always there, like trying to find the little interesting conversation or the little interesting part of the room. Or, you know, it's in little things. This is what I'm telling you. I hope it's just the beginning of my life still.
Yeah. And so it's true that you say that because you know what? I feel like, don't mind me saying that. Don't get pissed at me. But a lot of people don't know you the way I would know you or some of your closest friends know you as. And I think people don't know that about you, that you are actually, you're a very social, human connection obsessed person. You just have to be in the right environment to be able to do that. So I kind of agree with what you said. You're like,
yeah, if I feel it, I'm going to be myself. Obviously, if you put me in like a very cold environment where no one's talking and everyone knows.
It will not work.
But otherwise, I'm just, this is why I loved going to Bhutan so much. You remember?
Oh yeah, I do.
Like the connection there with people, and it's just the most beautiful energy I've ever felt.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, so next question.
Yes, my love.
Can you please share with us your 5 top songs right now that you're listening to? I just want to get a little.
Is it right now or it's in? Yeah. So.
Yeah. Like what's on your playlist right now?
So I think that I'm going to start with A Kiss to Build a Dream by Louis Armstrong. Victory, that you love.
Yes. Love. Yeah, my brothers.
But yeah, exactly. 7 a.m. drop.
Ooh. A good one. That's a Burning Man song. I love it.
That's a Burning Man song that we've missed this year by Andy Cato. Then I love, but this is, you know, from Michael Jackson's brother called Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called When the Rain Begins to Fall.
Yes.
It just puts me in a really good mood. And
it's
just
really good
dance.
I love it. Yeah. I love it.
I have to say, I know it's going to sound like kind of obvious, but The Girl from Ipanema.
Oh, obviously, that would make sense.
By Carlos Rubin. Yeah, I just love it. And I love all the different versions of them, and in English and French.
I have five different versions of that song, and each of them are amazing.
Exactly.
Each of them are
amazing. They're the best.
Yeah.
And maybe my last one, I'm going to say Red, Red Wine from Bob Marley.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay, so another tips and tricks from Bianca Brandolini's life. If somebody were to go to Paris and wanted to know what your favorite places are, aka restaurants, places to go to, places to relax, places to find the nicest fashion, what would you recommend for your followers?
So, Kim, basically, I'm going to say the three restaurants that we go to when you come to Paris.
Okay.
I think that my top three restaurants are Le Bar des Prés, which is this, it's actually kind of new, and it's from Cyril Lignac. It's in Saint-Germain next to mine, and it's a sushi place. Then Ferdy, is in the 8th, and we just want to eat the entire menu.
It's a bit embarrassing.
From burgers to tapas to whatever name it.
I have to say that when we go to that restaurant, it's a little bit embarrassing to see us eat.
Yeah, because
that's why I think we always go hidden without.
And it's very difficult to get a reservation there. So, like, when you're there, you just really want to make the most of it, and so you order everything. And if you guys go, if there's any Brazilian there listening to us, they have the best doce de leche.
Oof, it's so good.
It's so good. And the third one is Le Voltaire, who's in Saint-Germain also. And I've been going there since I'm a kid with my parents. And now, you know, the waiters are the same. And, you know, like, they're so happy to see me going with, like, my friends, because they just remember us going there when we were kids with our parents. And it's the most delicious French food.
It's so good.
That you can find. The place is beautiful. This is my top three. But also, the thing is that in Paris is like, it's more than just food.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you just sit in, you know, maybe a little bar, little restaurant in the morning, Place des Vosges, and you have your coffee and you get the newspaper, and then you're going to walk in Le Marais to find, like, you know, and you're going to find like the little cool hipster coffee shop and sneakers and the most amazing art galleries, and you're just roaming the streets of Saint-Germain. And you know, sometimes I go back, sometimes, now less because I'm older, but like I would go out at night to nightclubs and stuff pre-COVID.
Yeah.
And you know, because you grew up in Paris too, when you grab a cab and like it's empty and you go down the Champs-Élysées and you go to La Concorde and then you pass the Pont Alexandre III and you're like, honestly, like till now, and I grew up in Paris, I'm like, what is this? It's just the most beautiful city.
It
looks even fake sometimes. You're just looking around and you're like, wow.
It's gorgeous.
So I think I'll never be bored of Paris.
Yeah. I think, the main thing to remember from what you said.
And I think you should come back also.
Yeah, I know. She wants me to go back to Paris.
I beg her to come back.
And I fell in love with New York. What can I do?
We will. You know our secret.
Well, those three restaurants you mentioned are basically the main thing I look forward to do when I get home and I see you, and walking around Paris, and you never get bored of it. It's just too pretty. It's out of a dream. It's just a city out of a dream. I hope that, you know, those COVID times are going to go away and we're going to be able to travel more freely.
Me hopefully too. Soon.
So, okay. So that's my own little twist to the interview. I think I'm done with my questions, but I'm going to go ahead and like add like a little last question. If you were to give one advice to, you know, people that have been following you and admiring you for the last few years and that saw you grow, what would be your advice for women of today and kind of like, just like a very simple like advice you would give to yourself as to how to go about the next few months of our lives?
I mean, I know it sounds very not stupid, but like everyone's going to answer that in a way or say that. Mm. But if you really want something, and no matter the time it's going to take, just, you know, always keep it in mind and work on it, and you'll make it. And also today, you know, with the Instagram platform and all these social medias and stuff, it's easier for everyone to show their work and what they're doing and what they want to do. And people also connect through that. And, you know, I've been, as I was telling you earlier, I'm, for example, like, you know, have a beauty contract for me. And it happened now, but I've been wanting it for 10 years, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, things happen, and you never, you know, like never stop thinking that it's not going to be possible.
Yeah.
And you see what happened with this pandemic and stuff, like life, the world can just stop like this. It's like everything can change so fast.
Mm.
So
we but at just the same time, nothing changes. I think keep going is what you're saying.
Also, and me, I have plans, and I have stuff that I want to do. And it's been many years that I've been wanting to do some projects that, you know, and that I really hope that I'm going to share this with you guys really soon. And it's been a long time, and I'm still working on it.
Yeah.
And I just can't wait for my little project to be born. So yeah.
Thank you for that amazing piece of advice. That's it for me. Thank you so much, Bianca. Thank you, Clara.
Thank you. And I love you.
I love you. Thank you so much, Claudia, for bringing us together.
Thank you, Claudia. I really hope I'm going to see you soon. And I, you know what, guys, like right now, all I want is to be with you girls. With a little caipirinha in Rio.
Seriously.
That's my wish right now.
Big kiss, my love. And
big kiss, my love. Bye, guys. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
I'm Clau Ribeiro, and you just listened to Chats by Clau. I hope you liked this episode. Thank you, and I'll see you soon.